I want to thank you all for inviting me to be with you. It's a pleasure to be here. My name's Jordan Maxwell, as you've heard, and I have been involved in the research and study of secret societies and fraternal orders, underworld movements, for many years. I grew up in a household listening to this kind of talk. My great-grandfather was a senator from the state of Florida. I have two living uncles, last time I checked, that are still living, who are federal judges, who were federal judges. One of our family's closest friends in politics was Senator Claude Pepper. He was put into politics by my great-grandfather. And we have many different political people, friends of the family. My mother had an uncle when I was growing up as a small child that worked in the Vatican, Secretary of State's office. And consequently, when he would come back from Rome on occasions every couple of years to talk with the family, he would sit with my uncles and my father and his brothers, and the scene was almost typically right out of the Godfather 1 movie, with all of the men sitting in the den while the women were in the kitchen, and the men smoking the cigars and drinking wine and talking about politics and who's buying who and how the name of the game works and who's doing what to who. And I grew up listening to this kind of discussion of the behind the scenes of religion and theology and government. I, at a very early age, of course, at the very beginning, I didn't really understand a whole lot of what I was hearing, but I heard it so much as I was growing up. It finally occurred to me at the ripe old age of 17 that the entire world is lying in the power of occultism, hidden, mystical, secret societies, fraternal orders operating throughout the world. Now, we all are aware of the existence of criminal organizations such as La Cosa Nostra or Mafia, and criminal organizations throughout the world. We are all aware, because even the government and the Department of Justice has a criminal conspiracies division, implying that there is such a thing as criminal conspiracies. Police departments have criminal conspiracies division, implying that even within our own midst there might be political or criminal conspiracies. Well, I can assure you that there is plenty of conspiratorial movements all over the earth moving for different reasons and to accomplish different motives. But I grew up listening to the background of theology, and I'm very interested in theology. I have it in my blood because I was born and raised into that kind of family. I'm fascinated with the occult. Occult simply means, comes from the word hidden. So things which are hidden from view, and of course my hand at this moment is occult because it's hidden from view. So it doesn't mean, occult does not mean necessarily anything evil or demonic. It simply means hidden, and God knows there's a lot that's been hidden. However, the scripture says that that which has been hidden will one day be brought to light, that no lie can live forever, truth crushed to the earth will rise again. And there is going to come a time when that which has been done in the dark will be brought to light. And I believe that that is the time in which we are living, and that that great God force in the universe is going to require those who know more are to speak. The scripture has said that those who have more, more will be expected. Consequently, those who have knowledge in a particular subject are required by their creator to speak out, because one who knows and does not speak out becomes a party after the fact. You become an accessory after the fact. If you know better and do not say, then you become a party to that which you condone. I am no longer going to condone or put up with the manipulation, the lies, and the trickery which I have grown up learning about and hearing. Truthfully, I was afraid to do what I was doing. I am no longer afraid, because I now know that I have a job to do, It has been given to me. I am just one of many people who have a job to do in this time in which we're living, and that is to expose for the public to see how our world has been created, how it is working today. And while I am concerned for my personal safety, at this point I am happy to be at the age that I am because I have lived a very happy life, and consequently I now am going to devote my life to doing what I have been, I believe, sent here to do. And whatever that costs me, I am willing to pay. I have many subjects which I could deal with. For the first part, I'm going to deal with just general educational material, and then there will come a time when we'll ask the children to leave because it will be an adult subject. It's so bad, I think I might even leave. It deals with religion. And religion, in its actual original beginnings, was a very naturalistic thing. Religion, as we know it today, has evolved into a business, a very powerful business. I had an FBI man in a large city in California a couple of years ago call me. This is an FBI agent in a very large city in California call and talk with me, and he said that we want you to know that we've been monitoring everything you're saying and doing. We've been watching you for some time. And we want you to understand that we in the FBI, the working class people of the FBI, admire what you're doing. And we have no problem with what you do. We admire your integrity. But we want you to know also that when you are dealing with exposure of religion, his words were, when you begin to expose religion, what you're actually in fact doing, whether you know it or not, is you're exposing big money. And when you deal with big money, sooner or later, they're going to deal with you. And I said, you make it sound like religion is like an underworld criminal syndicate. He said, that's precisely what it is. It is a money-making scheme based on power, political power, and manipulation, and consequently what you're doing is you're dealing with a very, very serious subject, and so don't be surprised at whatever might happen to you, but we admire what you're doing. I was in a supermarket a few months ago, about 3 or 4 months ago now, and one night about 1 o'clock in the morning, and a young man about 35 years old, three-piece suit, very well dressed, very, very well groomed, approached me and he said, are you Jordan Maxwell? I said, yes. And he said, I thought I recognized you from your tapes. And he says, I work for, I will not say where now, I'm thinking about it. He said, but I work for a major network, on a major network program, which is world famous. And he says, everyone at the network has your tapes. And he said, you're kind of like a folk hero at the network. We're all taking bets to see how far you're going to get with what you're doing. And he said, but all of these major people at the studio, at this major network in Los Angeles, know of you and what you're doing. And he says, and we've been reproducing your materials and tapes and sending them out all over the country, all over the world. And so I have now thousands of letters from all over the world, from virtually every country in the world, people who have seen some of the things which I'm doing. Unhappily, I have not been able to do justice to the subject because I have not had the money or the position, and I have been spending most of my time fighting off people who want to manipulate, exploit, and use me. And I have been living in Los Angeles, and that alone is bad enough, but I also have to deal with people who see what I do causes attention, and when I go on radio or television, I get an enormous positive response from audiences, and when doing so, that also brings out the sharks and the vultures and the people who want to use you and make money off of you and offer you great plans and hopes for the future, and they're going to do this for you, and they're going to do that for you, and they're going to do all of these wonderful things, and all you have to do is just sign your name on a contract, which gives them 80% of everything you've ever done, you're doing now, or ever will do in the future, and all you need to do is just sign the contract. And then we'll have all kinds of money to do whatever you want. So I just thanked them very kindly and said, I didn't come into this world to crawl on my knees to any man. I don't do it to the mafia. I don't do it to those gang of criminals in Washington. I do it to no one, including anyone who would use money to manipulate me. Consequently, I've had to put away the desires of doing something really professional and wait until the right time and just do the best I can with what I have to work with. The word understand comes from the idea that you have to, when you come to something that is standing, you have to get under it to the foundation. So whatever it is that's standing, you need to get under it in order to get understanding. You go to the foundations. When one goes to the foundations of government, you will find religion. There's virtually never been a religious movement in the world that wasn't political, and never been a political movement that wasn't a little religious. Religion and politics are actually two hands serving the same brain. And it is my contention that the two hands, religion and government, are being operated behind the scenes by some very powerful secret societies and fraternal orders in the world who I choose personally to believe are not human. I don't think that these entities are human because they're too smart. They're far smarter than humans. So that's just my personal belief. But all the ancient cultures of the world talked about the gods, those entities from other worlds, the gods. I tend to think that there's something to that. Now, Christians have no problem when discussing angels. That's perfectly legitimate subject matter to discuss with Christians, angels. Well, where do angels come from? Are they manufactured in Van Nuys, or were they born in Alabama? No, obviously. Angels came from out there. Well, that's what we're talking about. If they came from out there, they're extraterrestrial. They're not from here. Consequently, I don't understand how Christians can, on the one hand, talk about angels, who they are very happy to tell you came from heaven, somewhere out there, and then have a finding fault with people who talk about UFOs or extraterrestrials, because you've got to find out how angels got here. Now, incidentally, when you talk about angels, angel merely comes from the two words, ange and el. El is not Hebrew. El is not Hebrew. El is a word for God, but El is Semitic, not Hebrew. El is a Semitic word for God, and ange simply means a messenger. Ange El is a messenger of El, or a messenger of God. Messenger of God. In the Old and New Testament, every single time one sees an angel appearing to anyone in the Old Testament or the New Testament, an angel always appears in the form of a man. The homosexuals thought they were good-looking men. They got women pregnant, so their plumbing must have worked like a man. Okay? They looked like men. They were handsome. They could sit and have wine and drink and tell a few stories and thank their host and walk through a wall, and then the individual knew that they were entertaining an angel. The point I'm making is that angels look like men. The Apostle Paul said, and this is Christian theology now, the Apostle Paul says to be hospitable to all men, for some have entertained angels unaware. The point being is that all religions in the world, including Christianity, respect the concept that God sends messengers in the form of men and women, but nonetheless in human form. So consequently, I say to audiences, as I'm saying today to you, I'm proclaiming myself to be an angel. An angel is merely a messenger.
Now, most likely I'm not an angel, but I could be, and you don't know for sure. Okay? Now, if I'm not an angel, but what I've done is entertained you and woke you up and caused you to think, then I ought to get an award for that. But if I am an angel, I'm going to see you on the other side, and I'm going to remember that I told you, so don't say that God never sent anyone to talk to you. So either way, you don't know. And I got to admit, I don't even know. But I've got to wonder about my life. I have spent 35 years of my life in one subject, and that makes me wonder why in the world I would do that. Because it has brought me nothing but trouble and pain and a loss of a wife and a loss of a family. But I intend to finish that which I started. Because now I realize how very powerful this movement against truth and righteousness really is. And it's been going on for a long time. There are many things I could tell you, but the most important part I want you to remember about this segment is that there are two kinds of light. The Bible has Jesus saying that if you say that you are in the light, but in fact you are in darkness, then how dark your light really is. The point is that if you think that you are intellectually or spiritually enlightened, and you're proclaiming that you are enlightened by God, but if in fact, in point of fact, you're actually in the dark, then you're really in the dark. You're serious, big time in trouble. Because if your light is darkness, then how dark your light really is. And the point was very simply taken to mean that it is a wise course of action to say before the Almighty Ones that you are not, that if you're not aware or you don't know, then accept the fact that you don't know and be humble to say you don't know and you're open to hear what the truth is. But if you say you have the truth, and that you have the intellectual and spiritual enlightenment, I say that you may. But you better hope you do, because when you leave this earth, the options are no longer yours. And up to the time you were here, you could say that you were in the light. Well, you better hope you are, because when you leave here and you deal with that higher power in the universe, It's not going to care whether who you are or what you are or what you've thought before. It don't matter. I am very concerned about theology because I believe so many people are being misled. And I believe that the only real salvation for our country, ultimately for the world, is for good people to finally have the real truth. Plato said that the price good people pay for non-involvement in public affairs is to be ruled by evil men. My God, when have we ever been ruled by evil men, if not now? The people who run this country from behind the scenes are in secret societies, fraternal orders, that meet late at night, who have sacrifices, who are into all sorts of perversion. And they're in servitude to some very dark forces at work today. The symbolism in religion and in our social institutions are profoundly obvious once you begin to see it. Clergy wearing the long black robes. The long black robes, of course, any time a man wears the long robe, he's representing himself as a female because women wear dresses. Not men. Consequently, when you see judges coming into a courtroom with the long robe, judges are wearing the robe, and incidentally, the robes are black because black is the color associated with the planet Saturn. And the ancient god Saturn was worshipped in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the city of Saturn. It worshipped Saturn. Saturn was the god of chaos. The black robe was the black robe of Saturn. There are many things I'd like to tell you about that. There are so many points I'd like to bring up. Let me try and remember some of them. As I said, Saturn was the god of chaos, the god of destruction. That's why Saturday comes before Sunday. Saturday is the last day of the week. The week begins on Sunday, because Saturn destroys the old order of the world. That's why Saturday night is night for party, drinking, partying, merrymaking on Saturday night, because it's the end of the week. We finally got paid and we're going out drinking and running around town and having a good time, because it's the god Saturn that you worship on Saturday. And that's why Jews go to the temple on Saturday, because Jerusalem was the center for the worship of Saturn. I don't care who they say they're worshiping, but the mere fact they go to temple on Saturn's day proves they're worshiping the planet Saturn. The women were told in the ancient world to listen to their god Saturn, so women wore earrings, the ring of Saturn. Men were to get married before their god, so they wore wedding rings. Kings were to be crowned before their god Saturn, so they wore the round crown. Consequently, we have Saturnalian worship. In the Roman Empire, Saturn was really worshipped there, from whence today we have so much worship of Saturn. They had something called the Saturnalia, which was 13 days before Christmas. The Saturnalia celebration began. I am getting into a subject which I have loved for many years, which has virtually never been brought to public attention. And I'm going to be probably the first one that's going to be bringing this kind of knowledge to the attention of people. It's very important. Go back and do some research in encyclopedias and reference works on the Saturnalia, the Roman celebration of the god Saturn. And you're going to find a very interesting story developing. For 12 days before Christmas was called the Saturnalian Feast. And for 12 days in Rome, violence, anarchy, pornography, licentiousness of every kind, drunkenness of every kind, every conceivable sinful activity that the human mind could come up with was made legal. One could not be arrested for raping, for violently attacking someone else that you didn't like. You have to wait to the Saturnalia. Then you take care of your enemies. You can rape the girl that you've always wanted to, but you have to wait until Saturnalia. Okay? Why? Because Saturn was the god of chaos and violence and corruption. Consequently, he was the god of the old order of the world, who destroyed the old order with violence, corruption, and destruction. And then on December 25th was called the Brumella, which was the celebration of the sun rising on a new dawn, on a new world order, in which the chaos and destruction of the old order will be wiped away and a new order is now to begin. Novas Ordo Cyclorum was what the Roman poet Virgil wrote. A new order of the world, when the sun will rise on December 25th, and a new beginning for the empire will now ensue. Consequently, you had 12 days of incredible filth and degeneracy, and then on the 13th day, which was the Brumella, or December 25th, God's Son is born, who brings his kingdom to the world. What we're in right now is the Saturnalian period, according to the secret societies and fraternal orders of occult Freemasonry. We are living in the Saturnalian period, when the gods of destruction are purposely, according to a design, financing, organizing, and promoting violence, sexual, drugs, every sort of licentiousness, with the idea of the Saturnalian principle to destroy an old order of the world and prepare the world for a coming new order, when the sun will rise on the dawn of a new world order, a novus ordo seclorum. The symbolism on the back of the dollar bill. We'll get back to the priest and the judges wearing the long robes. That's a very important part of Saturnalian principle. As a matter of fact, before I forget it, let's do that now. The priest, the Catholic priest coming out of Rome, wore the black robe of Saturn, the god that the Catholic Church worships. Is the same god that was worshipped in Jerusalem. The god of Jerusalem was called Saturn, and consequently his robe was black. The priest wears the long black robe just as the judge wears the long black robe. Just as you wear the long robe, and many years ago it was almost always black when you graduate from university or college. University, of course, is nothing more than unity in diversity. And consequently, when you graduate from high school or university, you also wear the long black robe. When graduating, of course, you wear a square mortarboard on your head. You have graduated because of gradual. You have gradually been indoctrinated to the point that you finally have reached your top degree, and therefore you get a degree in education. Just as Freemasonry has degrees. And of course the square mortarboard that you wear with the tassel when you graduate is the square of Freemasonry. Because plasterers and people who build things with bricks are called brick masons. Consequently, when you have a square mortarboard and you put the cement on the mortarboard, you'll see brick masons using their mortarboard to put the mortar on the walls as they build with bricks. And they're called brick masons. Therefore, when you graduate, you wear this square mortarboard on your head, which means that you have now learned properly what to kiss and when, and how to go along to get along. You now have your work permit. And that's why the young people who don't buy into any of this call the older people squares. Because you have bought into the system. You're playing fair and square. When you get thrown into jail, they give you 3 square meals. Baseball is played at the town square. The whole idea, Russian communism, run from red square. All of these symbols and emblems mean something. I can tell you without a doubt that what we call Nazism, Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany, communism, Marxism, all of the other isms are all nothing more than occult Freemasonry, financed, organized, and directed out of London and New York. Karl Marx actually lived in London and worked in New York for a newspaper company and a magazine. So Karl Marx was not a Russian. Karl Marx was German. He lived in New York. So did all the other gangsters. You ought to understand, too, that the modern-day symbolism coming out of New York is very, very interesting stuff. Why it's called New York. It goes back to the old York Rite of Freemasonry coming out of York, England. And consequently, when those chumps came over here, they set up something called New York. New York is the Empire State. Remember? It's the state of the new empire, like Indiana Jones and the Empire Strikes Back with George Lucas, the Empire. And after the Empire Strikes Back, we have the Return of the Jedi. And the Jedi is what? He is a knight, a Masonic knight. And if you go back to the old reference works of the Knights Templars, or the Knights of the Temple of Solomon. Incidentally, they're the ones that give you your banking system, the Knights of the Temple of Solomon. The reference works will tell you, when you look up the subject of Knights Templars, that they are the people who gave you what we call today banking. They started this project right around the year 996, 997 to the year 1000. The Knights of the Temple of Solomon developed what we call today international banking. So when you go into any bank today, writing checks and putting money into banks, doing any kind of banking, just remember, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with banking. But just remember that the entire institution of banking was started by Freemasons, referred to as the Knights of the Temple of Solomon. I don't know what that tells you, but that's the fact. Okay? Consequently, when you see the robes of the people, go to any good seminary, and you will see, like I have gone to so many different seminaries and seen on the wall the great leaders of that particular college, and all the seminarian professors are all dressed in their long robes with their Masonic square, the 90-degree square or the 60-degree square. All of these things are very obvious once you know what you're looking at. For many will look with their eyes, but not see, and listen with their ears, but not hear, and with their heart, not get the sense of it. And that's what's happened to us. We've been watching so much big-time pee-wee and Hulkamania and silliness on television, purposely designed, and that's why radio and TV is called programs. Because that's what you do to a computer. And your brain is a computer. And that's what they've been doing. They've been programming you. That's why they call TV programs. They're programming you. Why? So that you will know how to react, how to think, how to act. And once you understand the name of the tune and how it works, and I heard this many, many, many years ago, the whole idea is the control of the human race. To manipulate, exploit the ignorance of people, keep them poor, keep them guessing, and ultimately to control them. And as Albert Pike wrote, the Grand Master of World Freemasonry, Albert Pike wrote in Morals and Dogma, that the entire human race should be treated as one entity. And to do otherwise is an absolute tactical error for Freemasonry. The whole human race must be treated as one creature. All humans are human. All men are men. All women are women, and children all over the world are children. Consequently, all humans think alike, have the same needs, have the same desires, and are ultimately always going to act the same way. Men are always going to be men. Women will always be women. Consequently, don't look at them as Chinese or Russians or Americans. Look at them as humans. And consequently, if you're going to look at them as humans and control the world, look at all the world as one entity. And that's what they have done. Now, when you trace the roots of our religious and political movements, they will go back to, even further back than Egypt, to Sumeria, to Proto-Sumerian, even earlier than that. We're talking at least 7,000 years ago. I believe that can be traced back even much further than that. I'm fascinated with the use of symbols and emblems in heraldry, on national coats of arms, on flags. For instance, when you, as I said, the long robes are one kind of symbolism. When you walk into a courtroom, you will see in all courtrooms a fence with a gate, and only the attorneys who are called logos in the Latin, the logos, or the mouthpiece for you. They speak for you. The idea being is that you're so stupid you can't talk for yourself, so they will represent you to God. That's why the judge's bench, which is three tiers high, sits up higher than the people in the courtroom, so he can look down on you. And you can look up to the law. To this man who plays God in a woman's dress. And when you understand the basis for their law, and they say that if you get in trouble in this country, you broke the law. Like, remember, Moses threw down and broke the law. Consequently, the sheriff wears the six-pointed badge, the hexagon. We have Jews running around all over the world with the Star of David, and they're proud to tell you they're wearing a hex. This is a hexagram. I got the hex put on me. My point is, wake up. and find out that there are symbols and emblems and occult meanings behind colors, sounds, terminology, and you'll find that there is a world of criminality has been built up around us, and we are so ill-informed and unready to face this material that we don't even see it coming. In the medical profession, talking about criminals, I always have to bring in the doctors. Doctors and attorneys. First of all, let me get rid of the attorneys quickly. Attorneys are the ones who promote law. They are the ones who officiate at law. And the law, of course, goes back to the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. We can prove that because judges come out in the long black robes, and that's what the judges wore in Jerusalem. The Pharisees wore their long black robes. So we're still under that Pharisee rule. And until such time as we wake up and find out where all of this silly, nonsensical stuff we call law comes from, I'm tired of crawling on my knees to somebody else's God and their law. The God that brought me here will take care of me, and I don't need anybody else's damn God or their law to manipulate my thinking or to manipulate me in any way. I don't have a bit of respect for any God that allows the raping and the killing of children, women all over the world, the turning against womankind, coming out of the Roman Empire to treat women as second-class citizens, to treat children as they are animals, to treat men as though they were dogs, and to have all of their manipulation of the human race. I have no respect for such gods. I have no respect for anybody who says they worship such a God. I believe one of the few things that Albert Pike said that I agree with, that religion is the highest form of religion is the pursuit of intellectual and spiritual truth. I agree with that. When you see where our theology, our system of governments have come from, the symbolism, you will understand better my feeling about this subject. I brought in the medical. The doctors wear the long robes. Of course, they are wearing white because of white magic. The priest and the judges wear black because of black magic. It's black and white. That's why most police cars in L.A., police cars are black and whites, because it's the war between the black forces and the white and black magic. But doctors, of course, are degreed. They have a degree, like a third degree. That's why you get the third degree when you go into court, a degree. Consequently, you graduate because you have gradually been brought along into the system. And now you're ready to go out into the world and work for the powers that be. I have been asked on different occasions if I really have such a contempt that I sound like I do for the profession of law and attorneys and doctors. I want to say publicly that I do not have a contempt for these institutions. Individuals, no. But I don't have contempt for these institutions of law and medicine and government and religion. I have an utter contempt. I abhor the manipulation of human beings. The medical profession has killed more people, lied, purposely promoted diseases. Government has promoted diseases. We know they have developed diseases purposely to get rid of people. We know that they are doing this. The CIA, the USIA, the NSA, records prove it, that our government is purposely. Why do you think they have places in Atlanta called the Center for Disease Control? It's not the Center for Disease Eradication. Hell, we don't want to eradicate. You want to control, right? California. We don't have California state law or American law. You have a California criminal justice system. Criminal justice because the criminals are administering the justice. That's why it's called the criminal justice system. You think I'm fooling? You better do your homework. We've been had. by a very powerful elite people who call themselves elites. Elite, of course, goes back to L. Elites. That's why when you're going to go up high to L, you get on an elevator. Okay? L. We are told, and this is the one thing that I take a special contempt for. Religion that tells me that their God is the true God and everyone else is mythology, and then proceeds to direct my life on this earth by their creeds, by their manipulation of my government and my community, and I have to abide by their God's law. I will say publicly that the God that is being promoted today throughout the world as the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is nothing more than a mythology. And I'll prove that. I'm not asking for anyone to accept anything on face value. I'll prove it. First of all, when you understand that Israel comes from Isis, Amun-Re, and El. We are told today the Hebrews worship the god El. That's the Hebrew god, El. I beg to differ. El is not the Hebrew god. When the Hebrews went into Palestine, and incidentally it was called Palestine for a very interesting reason. That's because there were Palestinians living there. That's why it was called Palestine. Profound. But that's why it was called Palestine, because there were Palestinians living in Palestine. And the Hebrews, of course, were told by their God to go into Palestine and kill all the Palestinians. And the scripture actually says, do not let your eye feel sorry. Kill their men, their women, their children, and their stock. Kill them all. Because I am your God and I have given you, and you are a precious people, you are a special priesthood to me, and you are a holy people, and consequently that gives you the right to go into someone else's home and murder them, kill their stock, destroy their property, and take them over because they're less than human. And Israel today was founded on something that the Zionists called, they call Palestine a land without a people, for a people without a land. Nothing is more reprehensible and detestable than that which has been done to the Palestinian people and to all the other people in the world that the Zionist movement has divine plans on. They're not the only one that have been kicked out of their country. They're just the most obvious ones. Why do you think the Israel is referred to not as the country of Israel or the nation of Israel? It's called the state of Israel. Like the state of Alabama, the state of California. It's called the state of Israel because it's a state under our federal jurisdiction. So the state of Israel is connected to the United States. We just don't know it yet. It's not a country. It's one of our states. Perhaps the one thing that bothers me the most, and it is a personal thing with me, and you'll hear it in my voice every time I talk about it,